in the run-up to the November general election. KUOW is hosting debates between candidates for all the Seattle City Council positions. First up, District 4. That includes the U District, Wallingford, and Eastlake. Rob Johnson is an executive director of Transportation Choices. That's a statewide organization working on non-car transportation alternatives.
As an urban planner, I feel like I've got a really strong set of policies, knowledge, and skills to really implement really better plans for the city moving forward. I think we're at this incredible inflection point, and somebody like me who's got an extensive background in land use and transportation planning can really help us as we move forward build an affordable city and in a city that's a lot easier to get around.
The other candidate, Michael Maddox, is a paralegal. Previously, he worked in healthcare and as a labor activist.
You know, when I was young, when I came out of the closet, I lived in a shelter briefly. When I worked for Planned Parenthood, it was at a time when people were threatening to kill people who were working for Planned Parenthood, not just the doctors performing abortions. And I get a little passionate, particularly around homeless youth, particularly around access to reproductive health care. And it's that kind of passion, that kind of out-of-the-box thinking on top of it that I bring to the table, a willingness to be particularly bold and really be an advocate for District 4.
Pundits say District 4 is one of the friendlier races in the city. The two candidates recently carpooled to an endorsement meeting. Here's how Michael Maddox put it.
V-necks versus crewnecks.
The candidates agree on a lot of issues, so the differences often come down to style and approach. For example, how to make room for Seattle's growing population. Rob Johnson told Ross Reynolds he's focused on building around dense urban centers with good public transit.
And that means in places like here, the University District, the Roosevelt neighborhood, and Northgate, that's going to reduce the pressure on building out in those single-family neighborhoods. But there's going to have to be some conversation about increasing some of the size of the urban village boundaries that we have. There's got to be conversations about opening up accessory dwelling units for those mother-in-law apartments that I think folks like my family who are interested in having our parents move back to the neighborhood, we're going to really need those options to really be an inclusive city. But most importantly, I think, is neighborhood planning. We had award-winning nationally and internationally neighborhood plans in the 80s and 90s. I want us to get back to that neighborhood planning process to really allow neighborhoods to determine where they want that growth to go and what they want it to look like.
Michael Maddox, do you agree with that approach to dealing with the housing crisis, and particularly with single-family neighborhoods, which I want to focus on because they make up so much of the land space?
And I'll gladly answer that question specifically. And I think that we do need to look at other options with respect to housing types throughout the city of Seattle. Right now, if you're a small family like mine, you can't afford to even have a homeownership opportunity anywhere in this city. I think that if we have opportunities to do things such as duplexes and triplexes where each one is individually owned, some sort of a co-op system, within the existing framework of the existing structure, it's in a single family area. That's not a bad thing necessarily. And in fact, we can keep that look of the neighborhood, that character of the neighborhood that people think is very important. And I agree with that. We can keep that, but still open up more opportunities for our kids and our grandkids to afford to be able to actually have a home ownership opportunity in the city of Seattle.
Of course, that was in the Housing Affordability Committee report that came out. The mayor dropped that like a hot potato, as did other council members who came out standing right next to him behind that report. There seems to be a lot of community opposition to the idea of duplexes and triplexes in single-family neighborhoods.
And when I'm out knocking on doors, I don't hear that. What I hear is concern of lot-line-to-lot-line construction, concern of parking mitigation strategies, and concern of giving away everything for developer profit and not allowing any sort of community profit. And I think that we have an opportunity where we can expand the ability for families to continue to live in the city of Seattle. We have a family size housing affordability crisis, particularly something I experience regularly because there's no 2, 3, or 4 bedroom units that are available that are affordable in the city anymore. And this is an opportunity that we have to make sure that we open the gates of our city for everybody.
Rob Johnson, I don't hear you going that far in saying that we should add duplexes, triplexes, and single-family neighborhoods. You would not go that far?
Yeah, I think that the mayor's taking it off the table. I'm not sure that we're going to go back to it, but I would support us taking another look at expanding duplexes and triplexes. I was in Windermere just last weekend knocking on doors. There's a triplex in the neighborhood. I heard a lot from neighbors about concerns about opening that up, and I showed them that picture that I took with my cell phone of a triplex in their neighborhood, and they said, "That doesn't look bad. I wouldn't oppose something like that coming to my neighborhood." So I think so much of this conversation is about style and fear, and we need to have an open conversation.
I heard Michael saying he would do it. You're saying you'd look at it.
Well, I think that this is a complicated process. We didn't have the opportunity to really engage folks. We've got 65 recommendations here in the Holler Report. all of those 65 recommendations are going to go through a council process for adoption. So I'd like to put it back on the table. Does it mean it gets passed? I don't know.
You know, a lot of this there's a discussion about how we can make sure that Seattle is affordable to everyone revolves around what government and what nonprofits can do. Can government and nonprofits solve this problem?
You know, I think we have a significant role to play in the 0 to 30% affordable housing crisis. So those folks who really aren't making any income or making very little income, government's got a huge role to play in building out that very low subsidized affordable housing. And that's why we need to increase the size of the housing levy next year to be able to really build out more affordable housing. But one of the other things that we can really do is change some of the zoning laws to allow for denser and taller buildings to help manage that growth in places where it makes sense, like around the light rail stations. So I think that there's a lot of solutions the government can offer. And the HALA recommendations offer a really good blueprint over the next couple of years about what the pathway to affordability would look like. And I think that it's really significant because it's supported by such a broad coalition of organizations.
Michael Maddox, can government do enough to solve this crisis? And if not, what else should be done in order to encourage the private sector to build more housing?
I think that the reality is that no individual sector is going to do it all on their own. Trickle-down housing economics alone is not going to solve the problem, but that doesn't mean we don't need to encourage more growth. At the same time, we need to get in as a government, I believe, and do things such as support our nonprofit organizations in construction of affordable units for folks at 30% or below area median income. And I would actually also be very supportive of dipping into bonding capacity specifically to purchase existing multifamily and even build or land trust more land for family size units, but particularly of folks at 60% to 30% AMI, to make sure that we are getting into the market as well as a city. I think that's going to help put some downward pressure on some of the rent increases we're seeing.
Rob Johnson and Michael Maddox, two city council candidates for District 4. That's in Seattle. You can hear the full debate online at kuow.org.